number one sports site in the world.
Live from the Quick and Loan studios of the Yahoo Sports Radio headquarters. Nighttime is the right time.
You're on the nighttime now.
It's Tony D on Yahoo Sports Radio.
Tony D with you, taking you through the night here on Yahoo Sports Radio. You know, when you do this for a living and you get a lot of advice from people who say, all right, your show should sound like this, and this is what you should do to do on this hour, and this is how you do this, and this is how you do that. One of the things, though, that I've been told over and over again is, don't complain about the temperature of your studio. Don't complain about your headphones not working. Don't complain about the computer is slow. Nobody cares about your problems. No one cares about your building block problems. But Adam, I'm going to break that rule right now, because the chair that I'm sitting in my studio is the worst chair I have ever sat in my life. I mean, who am I, Job? This thing is as hard as a rock. It has no more padding. It has no more back support. I want to throw this chair away and go buy a new one.
You need to. You spend, what, at least 8 hours in it?
I know.
7-8 hours in it every day?
I know I'm a big guy, but my God, after a while, the chair should still hold some sort of shape. This thing is, I mean, it's killing me. My back hurts. My rear end hurts sitting in it all day. God, I'm better off sitting on one of those balls. By the way, do those exercise balls, people sit on them, is that work?
I have no idea.
Is that good for you?
I've seen people do it and talk about it, but I have no idea if it actually works or not.
Do you really want to sit on a bouncy ball, like a big super ball all day?
I feel like too many times throughout when I'm sitting on it, I'll just start bouncing, you know, without even thinking about it.
Yeah. It's like that little thing you had when you were a kid. You'd get on it and you'd just start bouncing down the driveway.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I would do. That's how, if I had it in an office, that's what I would do to like go to the break area. I'd just be like bounce, 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 bounce.
And there's
come to get my Diet Coke. Bounce, 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 bounce.
There's going to be that point in time when you're sitting on that ball that you just kind of forget you're sitting on a ball and you end up falling off. At least if you sit back, you're just going to sit back and you're not going to fall.
That's right.
Ball,
that's exactly
you're
right.
You're going to fall off eventually.
Yeah, you can only imagine, like, you lean back to go talk to somebody in the other cubicle. It's like, hey, Marlene, what are you doing? Wow!
Exactly.
God, I hate this. But, man, like I said, you listen, people have listened to this show for a long time. I never complain about the technical stuff on the air. I don't get into that. I don't want to get into that. I just felt like I had to because it's therapeutic, okay? It's therapeutic. God, I've been complaining about this chair, like, off the air forever. I just feel like, all right, I got to expose it.
Well, you'll be heading up north soon. You just leave the chair down south.
I know. That's what I told my wife.
Forget it on accident.
When we rebuild everything, when we rebuild this studio in New Jersey, I want new stuff.
Yeah, just
brand new things.
Just accidentally give it to the garbage man.
Yeah, that's right.
Your last day or something.
That's right. Exactly. Or just leave it out and somebody will pick it up. I don't know how many things I've left out in the corner. Just here, take it. Whatever.
Oh, yeah.
People just grab it. People drive by the house. Oh, look, somebody's leaving a chair or an old grill or broken refrigerator. Take it and go. That's what you got to do. 800-777-2907. 800-777-2907. We opened the show. I was talking about the Golden State Warriors and their pursuit of 73. That goes on Wednesday. But then Kobe Bryant's final game is on Wednesday. And they're at the same time, right? They're both West Coast games?
Yes.
So what am I going to do? Do I have to have two televisions now? Are they going to be on regular cable TV? Do I need the season pass to watch one or the other? I can watch the Golden State Warriors on my Memphis Grizzlies channel. Is TNT or ESPN broadcasting the Kobe finale?
I'm guessing they are. I'm gonna.
They gotta be right. It's the final. It's the final game.
I'm guessing ESPN got the rights to that one.
What are the chances that Kobe pulls a Derek Jeter and does something like really remarkable against the Utah Jazz?
Just the. What it would be great,
yeah, scores
just to
40.
See the fadeaway to beat him.
Yeah, the fadeaway to beat him. Do something like that.
It's on ESPN2.
All right, so that's the Laker game.
Yes.
And the pursuit of excellence for the Golden State Warriors will be on wherever. Like I said, I get Memphis basketball games, so I can
that
watch that
on ESPN
the Memphis channel.
And
oh,
the,
really?
And the local. So,
great, so now
so
I need
ESPN's
two
ESPN's got both games covered for you.
Now I got two games. Now I got two TVs. Now I got to put two TVs in the office so I can watch both. or flip back and forth between watching Kobe's final game. And you know what's a funny thing about it is I've never really been a huge Kobe fan. I've always respected him, don't get me wrong. But I've never been a huge Kobe guy where I'm just like, oh, I got to watch Kobe, got to watch Kobe, got to watch Kobe. And that, but because this is historic, I do want to see the final game. I want to see the intros. I want to see the fans go crazy. I want to see him say goodbye, do everything, whatever it is that it is. All right, Byron Scott said, all we're going to do is give the ball to Kobe Bryant. This might be the weirdest NBA game you'll ever see in your life. This would be like if Joe Girardi could have Derek Jeter bat 1 through 9. Kobe might take all the shots. Can you imagine being on the Lakers and actually wanting to take a shot on Kobe's final night? Like I'd be petrified. Like, if the ball came to me, I'd find Kobe immediately. Here, I don't want this.
Yeah, you better be wide open if that happens.
I'd be treating it like lava. I'd be like, unless Kobe says before the game, hey, guys, this is what I want. I want a triple-double. So let me get some rebounds. Let me shoot some baskets. And if I pass it to you, hit your shots. Give me a triple-double to get the hell out of here. And then, okay, that's fine. But if I'm Kobe, this is what I say. Okay, guys, if we're going to score 90, I want 85 points. I want all of the points. It's my last go-around. I deserve it. All of you just pass me the ball and let's go. This could be a Harlem Globetrotters, Washington Generals kind of game. Kobe Bryant against the Utah Jazz. Now, Utah has something to play for.
Right.
Because they're in a battle with Houston for that 8th and final playoff spot. Houston, I think, controls their own destiny because they play Minnesota, I believe, or Sacramento. I can't remember. No, Sacramento. They play Sacramento. So Houston plays Sacramento. If they win, I don't think there's anything the Utah Jazz can do. Doesn't matter. So Houston can wrap it up. But if Houston loses, then Utah has to win to get one game ahead of Houston for the 8th seed. And then they go to the playoffs and Houston does not. But if they lose to the Lakers, then and they're tied, I think Houston ends up getting the playoffs.
Yes, Houston has the tiebreaker.
Houston has the tiebreaker.
So if Houston wins, they're in.
So this is not just going to be hey, let's get the other team on board with the Kobe send-off and let's just call this a day. This is Utah going, no, we have to win this game. So if you guys want to clown around with festivities and have a good time, that's great. But we're going to be trying to win this game by 40 points, which they should easily do.
Which they did, just a month ago? They won by 43?
Exactly. The that happened right after the D'Angelo Russell, Nick Young mess. And they all went to Utah and got just throttled by the Jazz while they were mired in that ridiculous controversy. But if you're the Lakers, if you're Byron Scott, there's only one way to do this game right. You got to let Kobe take shots. You got to let the whole team's got to let Kobe take shots. Don't try to win the game. That's not why people bought a ticket. You stink. Everyone knows you stink. It doesn't matter if the young kids score. Everybody's there to see Kobe's final game. And you better let Kobe be Kobe. Let him do whatever the hell he wants. Score some more, rebound, whatever. The Utah Jazz are going to win the game because the Lakers should just concentrate on making Kobe's exit fun for everybody.
You asked the question, what would you rather? I mean, would you rather watch the Warriors go for that history or watch Kobe in his final game? For me, it's easy. It's Kobe because I remember when he was drafted and I wanted the Bulls to draft him. Then I wanted the Bulls to trade for him, and they came close, and it didn't happen. And now he's just always been a Laker and won a bunch of championships. And I don't want to see my Bulls record fall.
No, I don't blame you. So, I don't blame you.
You know what? Screw the Warriors.
Also, too, if I'm watching the Golden State Warriors, all I'm really watching for is the conclusion of the game.
Correct, yes.
Right? That's all I'm watching for. I'm just watching to see how the game ends up. I don't care if Steph scores another 35. I don't care if he hits 7 threes. I've seen that enough times.
Yes.
What I care about is the outcome. So I can watch the final 2 minutes and see them get that record. I don't need to watch all 48 minutes of that game. But with Kobe's final game, you could be watching something awesome from start to finish.
Exactly.
You could be watching something great. You could be watching a guy score 50 points. You could be watching a guy get a triple-double. You could be watching a guy that every time he touches the ball, it's just this loud ovation every single time. It could be one of the cooler sports experiences that you have watching a guy leave.
And it's going to be the last time he touches the ball. This is the last game.
This is it.
You don't get to see Kobe do a fadeaway anymore or dunk the ball.
My wife and I got married in 1998. We lived in Las Vegas. I remember watching Kobe win titles while I lived in Vegas. I remember them coming to the Thomas and Mack Center during a preseason game with him and Shaquille O'Neal and how everybody was just in awe of both of those guys. And here we are, 2016, and it's over. It's over. And I think everybody should watch.
This is Tony D on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
Working the third shift. This is Tony D.
Once again,
from the Quicken Loans Studios, here's Tony D.
Jury of sports into the more lighthearted, more rather interesting side of the news of the day. This is what we call Adam's News of the Day, where Adam gives us stories that may not necessarily appear on your headlines, but certainly are worth your attention. All right, Adam, story number one tonight.
All right. I don't know if you saw this today from the Detroit Tigers game. Bill Dugan, a fan, and we've talked about this before, how we haven't really ever done it much. Bill Dugan, he was 39 at the Tigers game. He caught 5 foul balls.
How did he do this? Did he move around?
No. Sitting in the exact same seat the entire game, sitting behind the plate. And it just so happened as he would, you know, swing and it would go back over the net, it just went right to him.
My God, that's awesome. 5 in 1 game?
5 in 1 game.
Did he feel obligated to give them to little kids who basically...
He gave all five to little kids.
That is great.
Yes, he gave all 5.
Good job. So, good job. Have you ever caught a foul ball at a baseball game?
I've caught a few foul balls, and then I caught like a batting practice home run ball.
Okay. I caught a foul ball in the press box. It was the only ball I ever caught, but I was at Fenway Park with a girl I was dating. I wouldn't really call her a girlfriend. We were just kind of dating a little bit, and I almost trampled her to get to a foul ball. I didn't realize that I was really overly aggressive trying to get this fly ball,
right,
that I kind of was, you know, pushing her to the ground. I really wanted one. I went to Fenway Park. My father took my brother and I to Fenway Park 2 or 3 times a year from New Hampshire, and we brought our gloves all the time as kids, and we had seats right down the first baseline, right down the third baseline, and never came close to catching one. And then I get a guy in one game gets 5,
and that, and actually technically I just saw he caught all 5 in the first 5 innings.
Wow.
So
that's ridiculous.
Obviously his luck ran out after that because he didn't get any more, but
wow.
He may never catch another one in his life.
That's right. Exactly. It's not easy to catch a foul ball. Good luck. Hey, congratulations to him. And all those 5 kids got souvenirs and memories that will last a lifetime.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So. All right. This next story is just kind of a quick, funny one. Something Richie Incognito, one of our favorites.
I love
Twitter.
Richie Incognito.
Yesterday was National Siblings Day.
Uh-oh.
So, you know, everyone's posting pictures on Twitter and Facebook of them and their sisters and brothers and everybody.
I got the best brother in the world.
So here's Richie Incognito tweeted this yesterday. Thank you to everybody that posted a picture with your hot sister. I will be DMing them real soon.
Good old Richie Incognito.
Richie Incognito just does not care.
He does not care. I thought he was going to do something with Jonathan Martin.
Oh, gosh.
Just felt like I'd throw it out there again. But I bet somebody told him, don't mess with Jonathan Martin. He's done, and the NFL will just slap you around if you do it.
Right.
But I was really waiting for Richie Incognito throwing a little sibling day, some sort of connection to Jonathan Martin.
That would have been awesome. Just
that would have been
even
good.
Even if it was just a picture of them two standing next to each other, like in practice or something.
You know what's funny about that story? And again, I understand bullying and that we're in an anti-bullying culture now. But I think we're going to look back on 5 years now, if not sooner, we're going to look back and say that was the most overblown, overreacted, over emotional story I think we've had in the league in a long time.
Yeah.
I mean, people lost their minds over this. I mean, people went, the league went ballistic. This investigation went way too long. It was like, after a while you were like, oh God, really? Over hurt feelings in a locker room? some suspension, but this thing, he lost an entire year.
People wanted him banned for life.
Ever. Forever. Never play in the league again because some hazing got out of hand. Like, we're adults here. Are we not adults? We can't just go into a room and resolve this and just go, hey, apologize. Let's work this out. People were like, no, you should never be in the league again. Really? Golly. We are a heartless society. Can't just figure things out as adults. Somebody has to lose their job. All right, that's just my rant. Didn't mean to rant during your segment.
No, you're good. You're good. This next story kind of scares me because I hate the dentist.
I do too.
Indiana man Donnie Grisby went to his dentist to have some teeth pulled. He had like an abscess behind one of them, which caused some problems, so he had to have them pulled to get new ones put in, basically. He woke up hours later, is what it says. He had no teeth left.
What?
The dentist pulled every single tooth.
Oh, how does that happen?
I have no idea. The doctor's reasoning was that...
Oh, no.
Basically, he was afraid the abscess, wherever it was going to spread to the other teeth, so he felt like, let's just pull them now, so you don't have to come back.
Okay, so don't you have to give... I'm sorry, don't you have to get the patient's permission to do something like that?
You would think so.
Hey, I'm about ready to do something pretty life-altering. I'm going to remove all of your teeth. Is this okay, or am I just going to have to get, you know, actually do some extra work here?
The wife was sitting in the waiting room, so it's not like he was there by himself. He, like, drove himself to get some teeth pulled and then driving home. His wife was in the waiting room, which it says for several hours she asked, and they just kept saying they're still working on them. And then finally, after several hours, she demanded to know what was going on, and she found her husband with blood all over his shirt, all over his clothes, with no teeth, and he was non-responsive, so they had to call an ambulance.
Oh my God!
This guy actually coded twice on the way to the hospital because he lost so much blood.
Oh my gosh! Listen, I hate ambulance chasers, but I hope there was 10 of them behind, just lawyers with briefcases following that ambulance all the way to the hospital. How can you imagine being that dentist going, wait a minute, this escalated quickly.
Right.
Oh my God, I just started pulling teeth. Next thing you know, I got a guy dying in the chair. An ambulance is coming. A wife is screaming. Oh, and I forgot I've been here 7 hours working on the same patient. Oh my God, that sounds like an Onion story.
It really does. Yeah.
It really does. Like, he's like, hey doc, I got a little bit of a tooth problem. I was wondering, you know, can you pull that? Yeah, no problem. You take this gas. And then by the time you're done, you're like,
he said he went to, you know, sat down in the chair, and then they used the gas to put him out. So that's what he remembers, is being in the chair and then waking up in the hospital with, you know, his clothes cut off and no teeth and not knowing what was going on.
Oh, my gosh.
So just my
wife works in the medical field, and my wife would rather like bite a belt and have, like, if she needed like her leg cut off, she'd rather just bite a belt like in an old Western than go under with the gas. She is petrified of anesthesia. I loved it. I've had a couple of surgeries where I'm like knocked out, woke up like, wow, it was over. That's great. She's got this like phobia about anesthesia. And then these stories are going to make her go, see, look what happens when you go under and you don't know what's going on. They pull out all your teeth. And next thing you know, you're going to be eating mashed potatoes for the rest of your life because you don't have anything to chew with.
I only had it done once, and that was for my wisdom teeth. And that's the only surgery or anything I've really had. So.
God, it's the weirdest feeling, isn't it? It is nothing like it. It's not like going to sleep. It's like going into another world. You're like in some sort of planet, like out of reality. And you wake up and you're like, oh my God, did they just really cut me open? And I had a herniated disc surgery, and the surgery lasted a while. I felt like I was out 10 seconds. Before I woke up, it was that quick.
It's kind of creepy.
It is really creepy because you're like, I just lost like 8 hours, and it feels like I was like 16 seconds. I'm leaving to lose my teeth. Yikes.
Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you on Yahoo Sports Radio and YahooSportsRadio.com.
Tony D here on the Nighttime Yahoo Sports Radio. Hey, thanks for joining us as we look ahead to the NBA playoffs. Got a couple more games for the regular season and, of course, some storylines with Golden State and Cleveland and San Antonio and whatnot. Sean Devney joins us from Sporting News to talk some NBA. How are you, Sean?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Great, thank you. The big game on Sunday with Golden State and San Antonio, and I didn't get a chance to watch this, and I was really bummed that I didn't. And there was history being made with Golden State. What did you see in San Antonio as they are preparing for the playoffs? A lot of people are saying, the Spurs without Boris Diaw, different team. Did you see something in that game that gave you an insight onto the Spurs?
I don't necessarily think so. I think that the game that Greg Popovich was concerned with, the one that he wanted to win, was that second one that they played. When it was in San Antonio, they win 80-79. They really shut down Stephen Curry. They didn't play the same level of defense on Curry in either of the last two games. I think that it was that second game. That was the one where I think the Spurs really wanted to say, okay, this is what we can do. We want to get in their heads and let them know that we can do this. And they seemed to sort of call off the dogs, I think, in the other two games that we saw last week. So, I think that for most teams, the regular season matters and these matchups matter and all that sort of stuff. I think for the Spurs, they don't because, this is a team that's just been through the wars so many times that I'm not sure it's something they're completely concerned with.
What about the Boris Diaw factor? He wasn't in the last two games they played against the Warriors. And how much of a difference could he make if they do get to a conference finals?
Well, I mean, when you look at the Warriors and what they try to do, versatility is their thing. When you have Draymond Green out there, who's basically you could say that Boris Diaw is a sort of a poor man's Draymond Green, that he does a lot of the same things, not quite as well as Draymond does them, and he's certainly not as young as Draymond is. But Diaw is sort of that positionless player on both sides of the ball who just kind of makes things work better, both offensively and defensively. And not having him out there, obviously that does hurt them. And like I say, I think that's something that they're not too worried about because they know going forward that it's something that that they'll be able to deal with once the playoffs come around.
All right, there are going to be six other teams in the Western Conference that are also going to be in the playoffs, and people can talk about Oklahoma City and Los Angeles. I want to ask you your read on Portland. How good are the Trailblazers? I know they had a stretch of time this season where they were really, really good. Overall, where are the Trailblazers going into the playoffs?
I think this is a team that you have to look at as well ahead of schedule. And the fact that they're in the playoffs is probably good enough. Now they have some guys, notably Damian Lillard and certainly Coach Terry Stotts, who maybe aren't going to just accept being in the playoffs as good enough, and are certainly going to know how to navigate the coming weeks in terms of trying to find a way to win some games and maybe even try to steal that series against the Clippers.
Sean Devney joins us, Sporting News, on the NBA as we head into the postseason. The Oklahoma City Thunder, of course, with Westbrook and Durant, but they don't close out games in the fourth quarter when they lead. Is that something that's fixable before you get to the playoffs, or is that going to be a problem for them?
I think it's going to be a problem. It's something that is not if they haven't fixed it yet, then they're not necessarily going to fix it in the playoffs. Some of that's luck. Sometimes those clutch situations, we read too much into them, and you don't just recognize that sometimes the ball bounces out of bounds. Sometimes it takes a crazy hop and you get a long rebound. There's different things with that that are just plain luck. But certainly when it's been a pattern, that's something that that you have to be concerned with. I think part of it is personnel. They play so well offensively when Enes Kanter is in the game, but he's such a defensive liability that if you go with one of the other guys, you're giving up that offense and it allows the other team to pay more attention to Durant and Westbrook, and that hurts you on the offensive end. So I think that is in large part what we see going on with Oklahoma City, that just don't, their personnel is sort of divided in terms of what it can do. I think they they've got some really good pieces on that roster. It's just you don't see the versatility where you have a lot of guys who can go both ways, who can do things on both ends of the court. You know, I mentioned the big guys, but you also have, you know, Deion Waiters, for instance, at that shooting guard position. So, you know, it's something where, you know, I think you'd like to see some guys that Billy Donovan really trusts. And I'm just not sure that he's got those nine guys that he really trusts. I think he trusts probably you know, four or five of them, but then there's a few that just doesn't quite know what to do with.
Sean, going into the Eastern Conference with the Cleveland Cavaliers, it's almost like take the temperature of the Cavs. They get interested, then they're not so interested, and they just want to get to the playoffs. But as we head down to the playoffs, where's the state of the Cavaliers' game right now?
Yeah, it's not where they want it to be. And everybody says, well, you know, they're the Cavaliers. They've got experience. They know what they're doing. They'll be able to flip the switch, as they say. And you know, my observation about them would be that in past years, they flipped the switch in January, you know, in late January, early February. And you know that's the stretch run. You know that, you know, you're going into the All-Star game. You're coming out of the All-Star game. And then the playoffs start, you know, pretty quickly right after that. So you've really got to be playing your best basketball. And they've just never really seemed to do that. That light has not seemed to go on. And for a team that, you know, has been so fragile all year, you know, firing the coach and, you know, these different incidents with LeBron, just weird incidents about tweets and visiting Miami, all these just sort of self-inflicted wounds. You know, it's a little bit strange that that they haven't, you know, pulled it together and played better down the stretch. And the fact that they're, you know, now that they've lost two games in a row, they dropped one to Indiana and then another to Chicago, and their defense was terrible in both of those games. The defense has not been very good really over the last month or so. You know, that's a concern to me. You know, they don't have the luxury of being a team that has, you know, three championships and can afford to twiddle its thumbs through the regular season and then turn it on in the playoffs. They're just not that good. They haven't shown themselves to be that good. So I'd be a little worried about the Cavaliers. They should make it through the East, but I don't think that's a guarantee.
Sean Devaney joins us, Sporting News on the NBA. One final thought. I want to get your thoughts on Kobe as he heads to retirement. And we're going to be able to sort of process his whole career, and people will have retro, you know, articles and whatnot on what he's meant to the game. But if there is a characteristic, if 10, 15 years from now we are defining Kobe Bryant's legacy, what stands out about his career? Of all the accomplishments that he has, what is the characteristic that comes to mind with Kobe?
You know, it's funny because it's a little hard to define. I talked with Dominique Wilkins about it, and about Kobe Bryant, and the thing that he said was, well, he's the last of the Mohicans. And I said, well, what do you mean? You know, what do you mean by that? And he said, he's the last guy who played like we played in the 80s and 90s. You know, the Michael Jordan, the Dominique Wilkins, you know, that kind of player who you know, was ultra-competitive, you know, played sort of a mid-range post game, you know, would do a little bit of trash talking, you know, sort of understood the nature of that level of competition and that one-on-one, you know, really thriving on that. And you know, when you think about it, you can kind of understand what Dominique Wilkins means when he says the last of the Mohicans. You don't see, you know, it's going to be from here on, it's going to be a much more perimeter, or it's going to be a Steph Curry game, right? It's going to be much more point guards and guards and out on the perimeter, whereas, you know, Kobe was sort of doing that traditional two-guard sort of game. And you know, that's something that I think that the NBA is leaving behind. So to me, that's what's going to stand out, is that he is sort of the last heir to that era of the NBA, the 80s and 90s.
Sean Devaney again, Sporting News on the NBA. I really appreciate your time tonight. Thank you so much.
Okay, Tony, thank you.
All right, and coming up, we're going to talk a little bit about Kobe and how would we define Kobe. You heard what he said, the last of the Mohicans. But when we really process 20 years and five championships and all the scoring and what he meant to the city of L.A., we'll talk Kobe Bryant next. And will Cleveland actually win the East? We've kind of conceded it to them, But are the Cavs really ready to just take it? Yahoo Sports Radio.
Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
Well, I got to admit, I was never a big Kobe Bryant fan. I mean, I wasn't rooting for the Lakers. I grew up in Boston. I grew up in New England. I was always a Celtic fan first. And even in 2008, when the Celtics beat the Lakers, when the Celtics won the championship, the fact that they beat the Lakers was fantastic. So I never was a Laker fan, but I've always respected the organization. I've been smart enough to know that the organization has done a lot of things right under Dr. Jerry Buss to be one of the more successful sports franchises in of all time. And so I never was a Kobe Bryant fan, but man, I really did respect what he was doing from a very young age all the way through, winning the titles with Shaq and then, that relationship falling apart and all of that. And I got to be honest with you, I kind of reveled in a lot of his failures too, like when, Phil Jackson took his shots and Shaq took his shots. But as we've wound down Kobe Bryant's career, it's like when any other, any athlete leaves the grand stage, you start processing, what exactly did I see for the last 20 years? And with Kobe Bryant, it's very difficult for me to sort of put into a context of what Kobe Bryant was in his career as a player. Because I grew up watching Michael Jordan. I grew up watching Larry. I grew up watching Magic. And so I'm really predisposed to that era. But watching Kobe score and score as much as he did and shoot the way he did and all of that, I got to tell you, it's another level of real respect that I've had for his career. The amount of shots that he's put up, the amount of scoring, again, he was a scorer among scorers. That's I think, is the definition. Is that if I were to try to define him, it would be he was one of the greatest scorers of all time. And no, he rebounded too, and he had assists and all of that. But on the offensive side of the ball, there are very, very few greater than Kobe and the numbers that he threw up. All right, 800-777-2907. Let's go to the phones and Robin and Tulsa, you're next up on Yahoo Sports Radio.
Good morning, Tony. How you doing?
Good, man. What's on your mind?
Well, I want to talk about Kobe, and I wanted to start off saying I do look through orange, yellow, and purple glasses.
All right. That's fine.
One of my sons, his name's Kobe, and yes, we named him after Kobe 18 years ago.
Oh, wow.
We just got back from Oklahoma City tonight. It was kind of emotional for us because sure. We know we won't see him again. I say he's not the last of the Mohicans. I say he's the only one. He's going to bridge that gap from old school to new school. Maybe the most intense player out there that I've ever seen. And maybe besides Jordan on the defensive end, maybe no one worked harder. He has rubbed some teammates wrong, and I've taken offense to that. I mean, who knows what Shaq and Kobe could have been if he could have just lightened up on Shaq a little bit, but there goes that intensity.
Yeah, sure.
You're right, one of the greatest scorers, and I think he wanted to be not just the greatest player of all time. I think he strived to be, I heard him talk one time about the logo, Jerry West, and how he wanted to be the logo. And I think he wanted to be Mr. Basketball forever. So that's my thought on Kobe.
Yeah, and I agree with you in that sense. I mean, very few guys actually come out and kind of admit what they want for a goal when it's all said and done. I mean, you hear a lot of guys say, well, I'll let everybody else decide what my legacy is. I just want to win championships and whatnot. And I always felt with Kobe that he really did want to be put in that upper echelon, if not better, if not the greatest of all time, certainly in the immediate conversation. And, you know, it's like Tiger Woods in golf. I mean, Tiger never made it a secret. He wanted 18. He wanted to have the most majors of anybody. That was his goal. It wasn't just, oh, I'll just play and then see what happens at the end when it's all said and done. I think there was a goal to Kobe as well. I think he always wanted six. I think he wanted six really badly because he knew that that was the narrative that people would define him in. And we just did that. We do that with championships, and I don't necessarily agree with it. Because there's so many other factors to go into play when guys win titles and why they don't win titles and whatnot. And I remember when Kobe lost his first and people said, well, that takes him out of the conversation, as if getting to a finals and losing because the greatest ever never lost in a finals is somehow not even worthy of considering. It's a complicated, formula that a lot of people use to determine who is the best of all time, because you're messing with eras, you're messing with people's memories. You're messing with people sort of softening up things that they saw and just sort of, you know, editing some of the stuff that they saw. And it's difficult. I've told people many, many times my own struggles with this, you know, in college when my friends were talking about Michael Jordan's. I mean, I went to school in the early 90s. So I went to school when Jordan was just starting to win titles. And I remember not letting go of Larry Bird. I would not let go of Larry Bird. He was the best player I ever saw. He was the greatest player I ever saw. And that's just the way it was going to be for me. And I thought that was going to be the way for me, with me forever. And then you get older, and then you get smarter, and you get a little bit less, you know, you get a little bit more objective, and you get a little bit more out of the fanboy mindset. And you start looking at the league, and you start looking at what was actually going on. And you have to admit, well, I was like, well, you know, maybe Magic was a little better. Maybe Michael Jordan is the greatest of all time. And I have to kind of let go of Larry Bird. And Kobe Bryant, remember this, because I think this is the one thing about Kobe, and LeBron's going to go through this too. There is a generation of kids who grew up where Kobe Bryant's the best basketball player they've ever seen. And it's going to be the best basketball player in conversations. That Michael Jordan was somebody my dad rooted for, but Kobe was the guy I watched. Kobe was the guy I measured other players to. And you can't take that away. Even with all the stats and YouTube videos, you can't take that away from them.